So last week, Pastor Phil asked, how can we live together as a follower of Jesus as we wait his return? Because, you know, Jesus will come back again. And the question, it's real that, how can we wait? And the answer was, by serving one another. This is the key. We need to serve one another. Well, I will talk about now the second part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But just to remember you, we can summarize the first part of chapter 12 in three main ideas. So first, Paul says that we can walk together, we can be united because we confess the same Lord. We have the same Lord, Jesus Christ. So we can walk together because of that. So in verse 4 and verse 6, Paul says that like we can walk together because we depend on the same God. We depend on Jesus Christ, no one. So it's all about Jesus. So yeah, we can walk together. And he finished in verse 7 to 11 with this idea. Paul says that we minister in the same body. So this is the point. We can really walk together as a church. I don't know you, but like we heard many times, people try to compare the church with different things. And we can find base in the Bible too. And sometimes people compare church as a family. It is what we are. A church as a family. We are a family. We are brothers and sisters. We walk together in Jesus. Sometimes people compare church with arm. We are the God's arm to reach this world to Jesus Christ. Sometimes people compare church as a temple. It's true. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit as a church. Sometimes people, compare church as a bride. We are the bride of Jesus Christ, the church. But Paul's favorite figure to describe the church is like a body. We are the body of Christ as a church. And the Apostle Paul's here from verse 12 to 31, he highlights three great ideas or great truths about we as a church, as a body, one body. Okay? The first idea here is the unity of the body. Verse 12 and 13. He's in the verse 12, Paul begins compare the church as a human body. He says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. The church as the body of Christ is formed by all members. I cannot be a church by all myself. I need you. You need me. We as a body, we are the body of Christ. A body is considered a full body only when all members are there. Okay? So we have to have this idea in your hearts. In verse 13, Paul continues to say that we have the experience of the same baptism. We were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So verse 13 says, for we were all baptized by the one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. One question came to my mind when I was reading this is what hold that keep the unity of the body of Christ? How can this body be united? So I believe two factors can maintain the unity of the body of Christ. The first one is the body of Jesus Christ. Okay? It is very difficult. It's very difficult to make connection between my head and my feet, my hands and my kidneys, if I talk about in a human body. But one thing I know, the same blood who pumps in my heart is the one who gives life for my whole body. Do you understand what I mean? So it's because in the moment that this blood that pumps in my heart is not going for my feet, what will happen? My feet will die. Because I need the blood. So when you talk about in spiritual things, about the church, I started to think, you know, It's the same. The blood of Jesus Christ is the one thing that keeps us together. Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ who help us and give us life and connect us. Okay? We are so different. Even like Brazilians and Argentinians. So different. Okay? But we can walk together. We can work together. Okay? I was talking already with her and said, you know, the next time the Brazil plays soccer with Argentina, we need to do a barbecue so can everybody watch the game together. So it'll be very fun and noisy, I know, and I hope Brazil will win, of course. But we can work together because the blood of Jesus Christ that make us one. So, and only believing Jesus as his Savior and Lord, a person can be part of the church, part of the body of Christ. The another factor, so we have the blood of Jesus Christ to make us one, and we have the Holy Spirit. This is very fundamental. We never can discover a person, a spiritual soul in one organ, like, okay, this is the kidney of the special, the spirit is there. No, it's the whole body. The whole body of Christ. The whole body. So the idea here is concerned to the church. The Bible says, in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And to be baptized by the Holy Spirit means that we belong to Christ. We belong to Jesus Christ. We are in this body, this spiritual body called church. And some people, we have the word like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have many different understanding about that, and I really don't care what you think about it, but the point is, for me, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people say we first experience, second experience of the Holy Spirit, a charismatic experience. For me, it doesn't matter how you call, but the point is, I don't feel as a second experience. I can see a second, third, fourth, because I continue to have experience of the Holy Spirit. And I remember in Brazil, we have an ocean everywhere, okay? And when I was walking on the beach, okay, with my big hat, because I cannot see so much sun in me, I'll be red. And so, when I walk inside the ocean, it's only here, I have control of my body, everything. I can do everything. I can move. But when I go one step into the ocean, and the water start to be up and up, I start to lose my will. Because the current take me. And if you go deeper and deeper, will be a moment that you have almost no control of you because the current will take you. My father, he died when I was 18 years old. He told me long time ago that he was a good swim, but he tried to go to the ocean and the current got him. And he tried to come back to the shore, but he couldn't. And he couldn't. So what he did? He just float and wait. And the current take him 5-10 kilometers away and throw him to the shore. And we know that many people die because try and die because no strength. So the idea here is, what's the feel with the Holy Spirit? The idea is, you are so into the water of the Spirit that you don't have any more will. It's the Holy Spirit conduces you everywhere. This is the experience. This is not only the second. It's your whole life is a new experience with the Holy Spirit. It's this power of the Holy Spirit who can make us and make us one body. The two body of Christ does not always coincide with the membership of the church. What I'm saying is, the unity of the church is not ecclesiastical. The unity of the church is not denominational. The unity of church is not organizational. But the unity of the church is spiritual. It's because the Holy Spirit we can be one. So the first highlight we saw is the unity of the body. The second highlight here, verse 14 to 20, is the diversity of the body. We are different, and praise the Lord for that. Okay, if you have two of me, I'm all lost. So we are different. Okay, so verse 14 says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the body must have a great diversity of limbs to avoid being a monster. So I remember that many times Andrea talked to me and she says, like, do you know, you have a beautiful green eyes. So maybe you never noticed, but I have a green eyes. So, and she always says, oh, you have a beautiful green eyes. Okay. Just, I don't know if she would say the same if I became 125 kilogram of a green eye. A green eye. No, be a monster, okay? They need the whole body, okay? So this is the idea. The body needs the various functions of the limbs to survive. This is another point. So, I love barbecue, okay? So, what I'm going to say, when I have my grill, okay, it's almost summer, it's good. It's time to do a lot barbecue. So, when I love steak. When I look, my eyes does a good job when I focus on a steak on the grill. Okay? But before I have this steak, I need my hand to go there, pick up this steak. And I need my mouth. I need my teeth to chew. I need my tongue to feel how good. Oh, it's 12 o'clock. It's time for steak. So you feel like, And I need my stomach to digest. What I'm saying here is that every part of my body I need. In the same way, in the church, we are here in every part. Every one of you is part of the body of Christ. And for me to work together, to work well, I need you. We need to work together. We need to be involved to think God's work here. So we need you. So never feels like I don't have a purpose here in this place. Because God needs you here. He wants to use you in your gifts. No member of the body can perform the functions without the other members. We need you together. There is no Christian alone. We live in a body. So the third point here, third highlight, is the mutuality of the body. Verse 21 to 31. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of gift of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So Paul teaches here some lessons about mutuality. The first one is the danger of inferiority complex. So it's the idea that, oh, I don't have any gift. Oh, my gift is so bad. I don't know. Complain for not have his, to have this or that spiritual gift is spiritual immaturity. So for some people say, oh, do you know, I have so difficult for speak. I would like to be like him. But you know, this is not good. Because God made you as you are. God wants to use you as you are. So you need to look for yourself and find, God, where you want to use me with my gifts. Nobody here, if you are a believer, if you have Jesus in your life, nobody here can say, I don't have any gift, spiritual gift. This is not true. Maybe you not never was really involved to discover your gift. And what you need is say, God, I'm here. Just show me and I want to do. And he will show you. Okay? So this is idea, this danger of the inferiority complex. But there is another danger. It's the danger of superiority complex. And you see that because you are more apparently or go in front, you feel like, oh, my gift is better than you. Okay? Do you know? Like this. This is not true. This was the problem in the church in Corinth. This was the problem. There is division because this kind, okay, I have the gift of tongues you don't have, so I'm better than you. And unfortunately, today, as Pastor Phil said, we have so many churches that are divided. In Brazil, we have so many people that start to separate. Okay, if you speak in strange tongues, if you can say that, if you speak in tongues, you are more spiritual than that group of people. This is wrong. The Bible said, is everybody speaking? No. But everybody has a gift. And you, what I want to say is, look like Jonathan here. So, when Jonathan will be in heaven, and when Jonathan will be in the presence of God, God will not ask him, or will not judge him, for the gift that God gave me, and not him. I know that God gave me a gift to speak, I know that, to teach. I can feel in my heart, I feel happy. Some people say, hey, when you come from the church, what do you feel? You feel tired? You feel, no, give me energy. I feel. But, so when I'll be in the heaven, God will not judge me by the gift that God gave to him. What God want? Be faithful. What God gave to you. If he is to be a merciful person, like a mercy ministry, do it that. If it's to counseling, do that. It's to worship, do that. Don't look for others. Look for what God gave to you already. And be faithful. And be faithful. So the danger of inferiority, the danger of superiority. The another point here is the need of mutual cooperation. The gifts are given not for competition or for demonstration of pretended spirituality. The gift aim is a mutual cooperation. So God gave the gift so us, we can walk together, we can grow, we can make His name lift up. This is why God gave the gifts. So what to do when a member is in need? I like Pepper, okay? And in the first service, I said, I like Piper. I said, oh, no, Piper. Yeah, John Piper, I like him too, but no, I like Pepper. But my stomach, not so much. So what I have to do? I need eat less pepper or don't eat pepper. So if I have an infection in my throat, my arm have to pay the price to go to the hospital here. They just give my antibiotic, of course. All the time is antibiotic, can healing everything here. So just go there. And but why? Because we are one body. We are one body. So we need work together. The another point is the need for empathy in joy and sorrow. So we are not competing. We are not disturbing, disputing here. So when we work together as a believer, and I saw that Jonathan got raised money for him, the job, how say the, yeah, the, how you call it in English, you receive money every month, your salary. Salary, yeah. So when you better salary than me, and sometimes I have to join with him. I cannot be like, oh, Jonathan got more money than me. No, I have to be happy with people that are happy, they're joy, they're growing, it's good. And if he doesn't, I have to help him, I have to pray for him. So I have to joy with people that are joy, and I have to cry with people that are crying. We have to walk together. And it's good that you have raised your salary, because when you get out, you can pay the restaurant, the bill. It's fine for you, John. Okay? It's good. Okay? So, this is the point. We are a family. We are a body. We should celebrate each other's victory and mourn each other's sorrows. This is the idea of walk together. And the last point here, the need to understand that we are not complete in ourselves and that we need the other member of the body. I cannot be church by myself. We cannot be church together as the body of Christ. The body is one, the limbs are diverse, and therefore they need to cooperate with one another for the common good. So when Phil, Pastor Phil, put this nice diagram here with like community service, community life, outreach, prayer, teaching, the all areas. It's an invitation for you to ask God, okay, God, I have this gift, or I'm trying to discover that area of prayer. Oh, I think I can help. So come to us. And let God use you. We need you. And we call, of course, when you talk about church, there is a broader sense of church. But we have to look for our community here. This is the body of Christ here. And let's ask yourself, how I can be involved in that areas? How can I be part? How can practice my gift? God gave to you a gift, a spiritual gift. And how can I use? How can be a part? Okay? So in the same way, the church is not self-sufficient. We depend on each other. So conclusion. The church needs to know its gifts and use them properly. And the gift is for edification growth of the church and not for personal pride or division of the church. We need to be part and walk as a church. This is possible. This is possible because the blood of Christ that comes in our veins. This is possible. This is possible because the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts and make us only one family. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for you, Jesus, who died on the cross. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who is in us and make us one family, one body. Help us discover our gifts and practice our gifts to honor you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.